We're up to the beginning of Perek Chof Hey. Pasuk Aleph, Hashem Elokai Atah. Yeshaya is continuing simply this Nevuah follows from the previous Nevuah. That's not always the case. Many times, sometimes in Yeshaya, the Pesukim, the Perakim are not necessarily in any particular order. Yeshaya, over his long life, had prophecies at all different points in time, and they were collected by Chizkiyahu v'Sayoso. I do not know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. V'Sayoso, V'Sayoso, Chizkiyahu and his assembly, they collected the prophecies of Yeshaya, compiled them, and put them into Sefer Yeshaya. But the order of each of the order of each individual prophecy does not necessarily follow. It's not necessarily in order. But here it appears that this prophecy, Perek Chof Hey, is a continuation of Perek Chof Dalet. After he sees what will happen at the time of Moshiach, at the end of days of Goy Gumagog, according to that approach that we were dealing with the previous Perek of Goy Gumagog, he describes in detail doomsday, all of the terrible catastrophes and tsaros that are going to come upon the world, and how the Jewish people will survive, and this very mystical, esoteric pasuk that we concluded with of Chofra Halavanu Vesha Hachama, that the sun and the moon at that time will be ashamed, whatever exactly this means. He now begins to sing the Shira. What is the song that he sings? Hashem Elokai Ata, Hashem Elokai Hashem, Kama, Elokai Ata, you are my God. I see at this point, just like at the Kriyas Yamsuf, B'nai Yisrael, they had a vision. Ze Keli V'Yanveu, Roha Shivcha Shabiyah Mashaloi Roi Yecheskel Ben Buzi, is going to be something similar. The revelation that will occur at this point in time will awake people to say, I see you, Hashem. Hashem, Elokai Ata, you are my God. I see you, I see the Hanhaga, I see the Hashgacha, period. And then he goes on to praise Hashem. Aroi Mimcha, I exalt you. I praise you on high. This, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure I remember exactly, but I don't think we had such an expression. I mean, this says something like this a million times. But in Yeshaya, this is the first time where Yeshaya is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aramimcha, I will exalt you. Oide Shimcha, I will praise and thank. Oide means to thank Hoida, to give thanks, Shimcha, to your name. Ki asisa pela, you have done wondrous things. Pela means miracles. Wondrous things, and that's really the theme of Achas Hayamim, things that are wondrous. Umafli la'asos, wondrous miracles, things that are l'mal m'derech ha'teva. Ki asisa pela, you have done wondrous things. Eitzos merachok emuna omen. These are four difficult words to translate. Eitzos merachok means plans from a distance. Emuna means faith, and omen means faith. We say omen, kel melech neman. Hashem is a king who is faithful. Emuna means faith. So here the repetition of emuna omen means an intensification of faith. Something which has been faithfully fulfilled, period. And what has been fulfilled? The Eitzos Meirocho. Now simply this can mean plans. Hashem has plans for this world. Hashem's Shechina is in the heavens. Hashem is in the Shemai Mimal. Heaven's way, way beyond us. So as far as a human being can relate to Ruchlius, the spiritual world, it is called Meirochok, from the great distance. Hashem has plans. Hashem's Shechina is far away in the Olam of the spiritual world, and his plans now have been fulfilled, have come down to this world, and have been faithfully fulfilled. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation means Eitzos Merchog means from the beginning of creation. Here, at the end of days, we're dealing. Let's say here right now, we're 5,772 years since creation, or approximately. We're not exactly sure of the number of years. There are different opinions about this. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan for this world, Merachok, from beginning of creation, before Hashem created the world, Hashem had a plan. Why does He want to create a world? Why does He want to create man? Why does He want to create Hester Panim? What is this all about? We have no understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ki Loi Machshavos Sai Machshavos Sechem V'Loi Darkechem Derochai. We have no understanding of Hashem's ways. But whatever Hashem's plans are, what they were, it was all done, it was all put into motion Merechok years before the world was created. Eitzos Merechok, and now Emunah Omen, it has been faithfully fulfilled. It has been fulfilled.
And now, meaning then in the future,
right?
We can see what the plan was that was a mystery to us all this time.
We don't all the different tsaros, all different difficulties, that why they happen at that time. According to one approach, it will then become clear to us what the plans were, how everything fit into place. That's one. That's the basic interpretation. Now there is another. Just if you take the two words emuna omen, I saw someone explain, is that in order it happens. The event comes to be. That's one. It's not really clear how omen means omen. Kel melech neman. It refers to faith. Emunah is pure faith. The two words together mean emunah omein. It has been fulfilled through faith, and that those two words alone teach us a lesson that in order for something to happen, you have to have faith. It's not that it's going to happen no matter what. Something is destined to happen. No, we have faith. We have faith that it will happen. If we don't have faith, if we are lacking in emunah. Okay, so that's not going to affect the outcome. The result will be the same with our faith or without. No, that's not the pshat. The life of reality, of things happening and coming to fulfillment, coming to fruition, is derived from the intangible faith man has in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem wants to bring good things to this world. He wants the things to happen. He wants a result to come about. It will not happen unless we have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Faith, although it's intangible, it's not something which we can define, is the lifeblood of the omen of the event coming to fruition of the result. Okay, pasuk beis. Ki, now here he is describing the end of days. Of course, every pasuk in Yeshaya, there are many interpretations. Let's just play around with some of them. Ki samta me'ir lagol. Simply, this refers to the destruction of Edom, Yishmael, the end of Golis, where Melchemes Goig u'Magog, where mighty nations will collapse, will fall. So here Yeshaya is praising Hashem. Why am I praising? Why am I saying I remember? Why am I Odesh Shimcha in the previous pasuk? What are the pillars? What are the wonders? You have Kisamta because you have made Meir from mighty cities Lagol into a pile of stone. You have destroyed metropolises. You have destroyed cities and cultures, things which people thought would be around forever. No one could imagine that such a mighty, powerful city could be destroyed, be turned into a pile of stone and in rubble. And indeed, it has come true because these people were wicked and they have brought harm to Bnei Israel. Samta, you have transformed Meir from what used to be a glorious city, Lagol, into rubble. Kirya Vitzura, you have transformed what used to be a city that was fortified with a wall, a strong defense force, Lima Pela, to a pile of rubble, same thing, to a pile of stone. Armon Zarim, palaces of strangers. In other words, that the towers and mighty buildings and fortresses. Armon means a palace of Zarim, strangers, meaning the nations of the world who were strange to Hashem. Their conduct, their behavior, their sins were strange to Hashem. Meir, that the palaces of strangers that were part of glorious cities, La'olam lo yibaneh will no longer be rebuilt, will be completely destroyed. So in this pasuk, basically we're describing there are three forms. There is Meir Lagol, the Kirya Vitzura Lamapela, and the Armon Zod Meir, the palace of the strangers in the cities, will be destroyed. Why three? What is the significance? I don't know. One thing I did learn yesterday in preparing is that every time you have a list, I mean, every other pasuk, there's always a list. There's always three, two, four, five. You're always enumerating. It appears to repeat itself over and over. So poetically, it's just another expression. It means the same thing. There's different nuances, what it means. But what it also means is stages. Nothing happens overnight. Whenever you list a whole collection of things, okay, each expression means it's a nuance. It means this, it means that, it means there's the Malchus, there's the Hamoinam, there are this country, that country. But being that it is grouped together in different, it's broken up into different elements, in different sections, it means the event that we are discussing will occur over time in stages. First is going to be the Kir, the ear, Me Lagol. Then there's going to be the stage of the Kirya Vitzura, Lamapela. And then the third stage will be the Armon Zorim Meir, Lo'olam Yolo Yibaneh. So that's an idea which you could apply to almost every other pasuk in Yeshaya, where things happen step by step. Another idea.
Could you say that this could refer to Ashur Babel and.
Possibly, absolutely. But that if we learn.
All of them were destroyed and are a pile of stones.
That's right. So each one can be referred to a different nation. Meir Lagol can refer to one nation, Ashur, and the other one can refer to Babel or to a Parson Madai. Absolutely. And it's referring to the whole long period of history, which is another approach. When Yeshaya and Parakafe is beginning to give Shira to Kodesh Baruch Hu, what is he giving Shira? Is he giving Shira for the history of the world, or is he giving Shira for an isolated event of Yimos HaMashiach, what happens at that moment of Milchemes Gog u'Magog? So you're saying a very profound approach is that he's referring to the whole period of history, and he's looking at all the various nations, and each little section refers to a specific nation, and the characteristic of their Churban is described for one in Ir Lagol, another one is the Kirya Vitzura, Lema'pelon, the third will be in Armon Zodim Meir. In Hanami, it's another approach. Now, a third approach to this pasuk is that we're referring specifically to Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab develops this at great length. He's referring specifically to Yerushalayim. And he's describing Yerushalayim the way it is today. And he takes note that the word Me'ai translates Samta Me'ir to mean what used to be a city, a metropolis. Now, Lagol has been turned into a rubble. It's nothing. He explains the mem means part, which is part, that's very common, means part of the city has turned into a gol. But the remainder of the city is stable, remains the way it was. And he describes, this refers to Yerushalayim today. Okay, he was writing this, I guess he was giving the share, I think his share were given in the 80s or the 90s, probably the 90s, the early or the mid-90s, he gave the Shema Yeshaya, and he explains this, that you go to Yerushalayim today, on the one hand, go to Geula, every other corner, there's a Beis Medrash, there's a Yeshiva, there's a Beis HaKnesses, it's full of Kedusha. But if you go a little further, you go to the Kosel, on the one hand, the Kosel Plaza, 24/7, the people that are davening, the Kedushas, taking place at all moments of time. But just a few feet away, on the other side of the wall, what is there? A mosque. There's a mosque. There are things that are not according to the Torah. You go into the Christian quarter, there are churches. A church in Yerushalayim, HaKodesh. How could it be? Just a few feet away is the Beis HaKnesses. So that's when it comes to Yimos HaMashiach, Samta Meir Lagol, Yerushalayim, part of the city that has been defiled by mosques and churches and missionaries, all different forms of things which are not correct according to Hashkaf of the Torah, that part will be turned into a gol. Kirya Vitzura L'mapila, so this is very interesting how he suggests, he darshins, is that the city walls, what we call today the old city, do those walls have any real significance? Not really. Those walls, who were they built? They were built by the, I don't even know, the Turks. They were built, I don't know the details, but the original city walls of Yerushalayim were destroyed by Yishani. those walls were rebuilt over time by different empires, the British, the Turks before, and Christians during the Crusades. A lot of construction took place during the Crusades, during that time period. So the walls, which are, what were the walls built? It was to fortify Yerushalayim, but those walls have no significance. And in fact, in the time of Mashiach, they're an impediment for people that are trying to come close, to come to Yerushalayim, they're in the way. So these fortified walls of Yerushalayim that we know today will be demolished, and either there will not be any wall, or there will be other some holy wall which will be constructed for the new Yerushalayim. It's a very interesting approach. Kiryat Vitzura, the city that is Bitsura, the wall around the city, which was not built, that wall that we have today, that it was not built, shame for Yerushalayim, was built by foreign powers, Lemapela, Armon Zorir Meir, the palace of the stranger from the city. He says that refers to the mosque. The mosque that is on the place of the Har HaBayis, that's the big palace which the Muslims, they pride themselves. That Armon of the Zorin, the strangers, that is situated on the Mekayim HaMikdash, Meir, from the city, La'olam lo yibaneh, will be demolished and will never be rebuilt. So that's a very novel approach to this pasuk. To summarize, we have three approaches. Either refers to nations of the world, and the word Meir means what used to be a city has been completely obliterated, wiped off the face of the map, referring to various nations of the world that have brought terrible harm to the Jewish people. When Mashiach comes, they will be obliterated. We have three different examples, three different expressions. And as Dr. Friedman said, the interpretation is referring to different, the history of the world. From the beginning of the world, referring to different nations over the timeline of history. They have all come and they have come and gone. And now when Mashiach is here, the only one that's left is the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Or the third approach is Rav Schwab's novel approach, so referring to Yerushalayim, and the Mem does not mean what used to be a city. It means that part of the city will now, the part of the city that is not according to the Hashkaf of the Torah, will be demolished, referring specifically to the churches and mosques and the walls that were built in order not for purposes of kedusha. Okay, let's go to pasuk gimel. Al kein yichabducha am oz. Now am oz, I'll just throw out the two general approach. We'll focus only on one because it's simpler. The one of the two. Who is the am oz? It can refer either to the nations of the world, the arrogant nations or the tyrants of the world, who have caused much harm to Klal Yisrael and to the entire world, or the Am Oz, and also it says Aritzim. Aritzim literally means tyrants. It literally means powerful. Generally, it's interpreted in the negative form. Person is an Aritz, he's a powerful tyrant, a Rasha, an oppressor, someone who causes harm, pain, tsar. That's how normally it's interpreted, but not necessarily. Aritzim could mean powerful, someone who's mighty and powerful in kedusha, in ruchnius. So either the words am oz, the nation that's mighty, or aritzim refers to Klal Yisrael because they are mighty. In fact, the Gemara says there are three nations that are az, and one of them is Klal Yisrael. They're an am az. They're a mighty nation in their quest to fulfill Hashem's will. Or again, it can mean the nations of the world which are wicked. They're full of arrogance and oppression. So that's how we're going to focus on for now. But just keep in mind, you can learn the pasuk entirely differently. Here, and according to that approach, it's a very difficult parak. This parak really rates from the more, not as if anything else is too easy, but this parak is very difficult. But here, the pasuk is telling us a very interesting idea, that when the world sees the incredible miracles that will happen at the time of Mashiach, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting and elevating Klal Yisrael, they will be terrified. They will be frightened, and they will be forced to come to the world, forced to realize that there is a Ribono Shel Olam, and Klal Yisrael is His chosen nation, and they will be humbled to praise and give thanks to Hashem. Al kein, therefore, when the nations of the world see what has occurred in the last perek, and during Yeshaya and seeing what's happening, yichabducha am oz, the mighty wicked nations, the powerful nations who are full of might and power and of course they're mighty in their wickedness, will have no choice but to be humbled and give honor to Hashem. They will honor you, Hashem. Kiryas goyim oritzim. The oritzim are the tyrants of the cities of the nations. It means all of the nations, the United Nations. Kiryas goyim oritzim. What is the United Nations? It's a collection of goyim, of nations, of different countries. Different countries, and the country is called sometimes by, it's called a city. Oritzim, tyrants. Yiru'ucha, they will now come to fear you. Read the words backwards, it's much easier. Yiru'ucha, they will fear you. Oritzim, the tyrants of the Kiryas goyim, of the city, the nations of the nations which have many cities, or the cities which are have the nationalities, all the various nationalities will now come to fear Hashem when they see His hashkacha at this time in the world. Pasuk Dalet. Why will they give honor? Two things in the previous pasuk: Gimel is honor and fear. Why? Why will they give honor? Why will they fear Hashem? Ki hayisa ma'oz ladol, ma'oz le'evion batzarlo. Because you were a source of strength for the poor. Ma'oz means a source of strength for the evion. Evion is toiv lakol. We have matonos le'evionim. Dal is someone who is poor, and evion is destitute. Not just poor. Someone who's poor, he has some things he has going for him. He has a place to live. Doesn't have food, but he has a place to live. Some people, they have food. They have a knapsack. They have some food in their knapsack, but they don't have a place to live. They're homeless. An evyon is someone who has nothing. Doesn't have shelter, doesn't have food, doesn't have clothing, has nothing. Evyon is a destitute individual. So Hashem has been a moz ladol, a stronghold for the poor, a mohos lo evyon batsarlo, in the poor, in their distress. At the time when the dal and the evyon are in tsar, Hashem has been there for them. And this refers to Klal Yisrael, according to this interpretation. They will now realize that throughout history of the world, the Jewish people many times found themselves in a situation where they call themselves dal and evyon. I mean, Pash, during the Holocaust, what were the Jewish people? Well, they were dal and evyon. Go throughout history, all the persecutions. The Jewish people found themselves in a situation where they were done. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved the Klal Yisrael. I mean, Holocaust, I mean, the Churban was Churban. But as a whole, as a nation, as a whole, Klal Yisrael survived. Hashem was always there for us, and they will come to that realization. Yeah.
So, in contrast to the previous pasuk, which talked about the powerful and the oppressor, so here we talk about the oppressed.
No, but it's a continuation. Powerless. This is why the nations of the world will praise Hashem.
Because Hashem sticks up for the
exactly.
powerless.
Because
the
they
oppressor.
Now come to realize through the events of Yemos HaMashiach that Hashem was always with us, Lamafreya. He was always with us throughout the entire history. So that's Ki Hayis. Ki Hayis, Pasuk Dal is a connection to Pasuk Gimel. Why will the nations of the world, the Am, Oz, the Aritzim, why will they give Kavod and Yira to Hashem? Ki Hayisa. They have come to the realization, you, Hashem, have always been there and always protected the Jewish people. Al Derech HaTeva, the Jewish people should not have survived. In our history, I once read from Rav Beryl Wine that 10 times in the history of Klal Yisrael, the majority of the population did not make it into the next generation. That's amazing. No other nationality was there such a time where the majority, 10 times in their history, 10 times, that you have a generation, there's a certain population, and in the next generation, 50 years later, less than half is no longer there. Less than half of the nation, the population, has been wiped out because of oppression, because of persecution. 10 times since the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. Al pi derech hateva, they're trying so hard to conquer us, and every time, every one of these 10 events, they try to wipe out the whole Klal Yisrael. So you think one of 10 times they would survive at least once, they would succeed. We'd be extinct by now. No, we've survived. we've survived only because Hashgacha Pratis. That's what they're coming to realize at the time of Moshe Mashiach. Ki hoyisa mohos ladol mohos laevion batsalo, when they are distressed. Okay, then the pasuk includes this difficult part of the pasuk. It's a lot of symbolism, metaphors in this section of the pasuk. Machseh, you were a shelter mizerem. Zerem is a torrent. Torrent means a flood of water, flash floods, flood of water. Tzel, you were a shade mechoreh from intense heat. Ki ruach aritzim, because the spirit of the aritzim. Again, we're continuing in our previous approach that aritzim refers to the nations of the world. We're translating aritzim in the with a negative connotation. Tyrants, the powerful tyrants of the world, their spirit, their drive to destroy us is very powerful. It's kizerem kir, like a torrent against a wall. Now, I don't know what the significance. I'm sure there's great significance in this, but this, I guess, was an image where powerful flood has the power to smash a wall. When a powerful torrent, a flash flood, or some powerful current comes up against the wall is a nothing. It collapses against the force of the zerem. So let's go backwards in this pasuk. The pasuk at the end of the pasuk is telling us that the ruach haritzim, the spirit, the tyrants of the world, the nation of the world, every single nation over our history has tried to destroy us. They didn't just try to destroy us half asleep, klachayat. They put in all of their effort. It was their life. It was the ruach haritzim. It was their spirit to destroy us. That's what they wanted to do. It was kizerem kir. They came against us with a torrent against the wall, and we should have collapsed. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. And how did He save us? So the first pasuk, what we did, now let's do the middle part of the pasuk. You were a machzeh mizerem, a shelter from the torrent, and a tzel, a shadow from heat. This is a classic approach in Jewish history. Everyone, there are two different types of threats to the Jewish people. There is Hatzileni Nam Miyad Ochi Miyad Esav. There's Ochi and Esav. Classic Torah that sometimes the nations of the world try to destroy us head on. They see us and they shoot to kill. We know your enemy. Know your enemy. Haman, Jewish people, wipe them out. Then there's Miyad Ochi, where the nation of the world embrace us. They love us. Full rights. Join us. Spain, that was the Churban of Spain. Join us. You become enlightened. You can have full rights in society. And then we have the threat of assimilation. They want to destroy us through their warmth, through their love. You can be equal to us. Eat with us. Dine with us. That's why you can pass akum, pass out, all these things, all of these different things, because the danger of assimilation when the goyim are good to us. So that's what the pasuk here refers to. Here it's the tzel mechorev, heat. Heat refers to love. Heat. When a person loves, there's a certain heat. It's a metaphor. Hashem was a shelter. He knew that there was a danger, so He protected us. They should not get too close. He caused that we would ultimately be separate. And the first part, machzeh mizerem, that's miyad esav, that's head on. When they came against us with force, a torrent, a mighty force, a gush of water against us, Hashem sheltered us. So let's review the entire pasuk, a complex pasuk. It has many, there are many ideas. And this simple pasuk, Pasuk Dalu, there are three parts. Ki hoyisa mo'oz ladol mo'oz lo'evyon batzarlo. That's a continuation of the Pasuk Gimel. Why do the nations of the world give honor to Hashem and fear Hashem when the Mashiach comes? They realize now in retrospect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always protected the poor and the Evyon, referring to Klal Yisrael. How did Hashem protect us? He protected us as being a machzeh mizerem metzel mechorev. He protected us when they came against us with force, like a zerem, and He protected us when they came with love, a chorev. He was a shelter, a shade from the heat of love, where they tried to cause us to assimilate. And it could be very interesting. We could say that the machzeh mizerem is ladol. Maybe that's an approach. That since the pasuk begins with dol and evyon, so maybe dol is a metaphor when you directly attack your enemy. And an evyon is a metaphor for a is for assimilation. When they're good to you, come in. Maybe there's some type of some approach to connect the dol to the zerem and the evyon to the charef. And then it concludes ki ruach or tzim. If not for Hakadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, we would never have survived because they were very mighty and powerful. Ki ruach or tzim, the spirit of the tyrants was powerful. Ki zerem kir, like a torrent of rushing against the wall. One more passage to finish up this section. Ki chayv. Now this. Yeah.
How would you comment on the high rate of intermarriage down in America?
Yeah, that's
the second part.
Absolutely, 100%, 100%. The 50% is even worse. Assimilation is in America, Baruch Hashem. No one's complaining. Malchus shel Chesed. We have full rights. That the Jews have reached the highest positions in government. Full right. I mean, there's a lot of anti-Semitism. Also, you go out, especially if you leave New York City, you get a taste of anti-Semitism, but you go online, you look at some of these message boards. It's amazing. I marvel at how good Obama, no matter what anyone says, how good the presidents have been to Israel. When you look at some of the things that people write about Eretz Yisrael, the incredible hatred. And it appears what you read on some of these message boards, these political message boards, that this is like 99% of the population of America. But maybe these vocal anti-cans make a lot of noise. But it's frightening. It's very, very frightening. It's the anti-Semitism that exists. But yet, Baruch Hashem, Malchus shel Chesed, it's never been so good. It's never been so good for Klai Yisrael, B'li Ayin Hara. And Achdam, you're dealing with both. You're always dealing with this dual threat. Hatzileini no miyat ochi miyat esav. Ochi is where he showers us with love. He wants us to assimilate. And miyat esav is where, like the Nazis, Haman, Amalek, where they come against us directly. Okay, this is a hard pasuk, so maybe we'll better leave for tomorrow. It's a long, long, I'll have to discuss that pasuk. Okay, so we'll stop here.